T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Our next guest is Lon Davis, and one of the many books that Lon has written about the about showbiz had to do with the Three Stooges, and I got such a kick out of talking to Lon yesterday, and we were on and on and on, and just remembering so many great things. But I don't know where I would have been if I didn't have the Three Stooges to start me laughing. I had that TV set down so low, but no matter how low you turned your television set, you'd still hear the doinks and doinks and the slaps. Good morning to you. How are you, Lon?
I am so great, Steve. How are you doing?
Oh, good. I had a chance this morning to listen to your podcast about the Three Stooges, and it just floored me. It really, really, really just was like, when you see the shenanigans that they pulled, and then hear all the different stories behind them, and a lot of the darkness that they went through, it just was so hard to believe, you know, because everything was so fun and silly, but these guys were really something. Lon, could you just tell us a little bit, because we want to talk about your new book about Ma and Pa Kettle, and that's awesome also, but being a Three Stooges fan the way that I've always been, and I know Matt, who might join us, our producer this morning, because I know he's a big fan of the Three Stooges. Tell us a little bit about the Stooges, and how did you get all that research? How much digging did you do, Lon? It sounds like you did a lot of interviews and such to do your book on the Stooges.
Well, I did. The book is called Stooges Among Us, and it's really made up of a series of wonderful essays written by their oral accounts, written by individuals who either knew the Three Stooges personally or worked with them or even were related to them. And as you pointed out, the Stooges were extremely, their lives were difficult at times. They also were very rewarding. Those were hard-working men and really generous individuals, particularly to their fans. They loved their fans, and they would pose for photos, sign autographs. They were always available, and they made themselves available. And even in their later years, they would respond directly to fan mail, Mo Howard and Larry Fine in particular. And Mo was a very serious fellow, nothing like his character, which was a bullying, brash individual. Mo was actually very self-effacing and a very kind man, but he was also quite cool, I believe, rather removed. And I did have a little bit of a difficult phone call with him one time because I was over visiting with Larry Fine at the Motion Picture Home. Larry was a very close friend of mine at that point in my life. I was only 14. He was 71. Mm-hmm. And he had a stroke, a very serious stroke. And he was in a wheelchair, and his speech was garbled. But he was a very wonderful and easy guy to get along with. And he had written a book on the Three Stooges, on his experience with them. The book was absolutely dreadful. It was called Stroke of Luck, and it was a self-published affair, very, very poorly done. And Mo, who was the leader of the team, was working on his book at the time, and he was very upset that Larry came out with this book. Well, what made him even more upset was when Larry told me that he was coming out with a second book, and not knowing that it was a big secret, I brought it up during my phone call with Mo got really angry and wanted to know the details of it. And I'm looking at Larry, and he's white as a ghost. It's like, Mo's not supposed to know this. And I thought, it's almost like a bad dream. You know, you're between Mo and Larry, and you're getting Mo mad at Larry. And it was weird. It really was.
And I'm surprised that we didn't hear you getting smacked around by those two guys when you made that mistake.
Yes, well, if Mo had been there, I think he might have jabbed me in the eyes or something like that. He was not at all happy. I never really had a connection with him. But Larry was such a warm and wonderful man, and he loved having these young fans visit him at the Motion Picture Home. He was the most popular person out there by far. The Motion Picture Home, of course, is a residential hospital and, you might say, like community for retired actors and technicians, everyone who had ever been in Hollywood and had belonged to the union and put in so many hours. And there are restrictions, but they really, it was a great place, as I recall it.
Oh, the stories, I'm sure, in that place. We're on the line with Lon Davis right now, who has written a lot of different books about the showbiz, and we're talking about the Stooges Among Us. And speaking of Stooges Among Us, one of the Stooges that keeps me company here on Saturday morning and actually keeps it up and keeps us on the air is our producer, Matt Saroy. Now, Matt had told me something about the Three Stooges, and he has a family connection to them. So, Lon, I thought you'd get a kick hearing about that. Matt, if you could just tell Lon about your connection with the Three Stooges.
Yeah, my grandfather was in the Army and he actually met the Stooges, I believe.
Are you there, Matt?
Yeah, I don't know if he can hear you, Matt. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. How about that?
Yes.
Okay, I got you now. I had to hit a different setting on the board here. my grandfather was in the Army and he ended up meeting the Three Stooges while in the Army and got a photo with them, and I don't for the life of me know where the photo is now, but I remember him telling me when he was alive that, you know, they were so nice. Like you said, Larry was by far the nicest. And it was a really great pleasure for him to meet them, especially because he got to show, you know, my dad and my dad's brother and whole family, you know, the photo and watch them on TV, obviously, and everything. So he said it was quite the experience for him.
Oh, I can only imagine. Like I said, so many people had their picture taken with the Three Stooges, and the thing that was interesting, they didn't just stand there. They would come up with these crazy poses, you know, like grabbing the other one's hair or they were masters at physical comedy, and they knew how to communicate that in the most spontaneous way you can imagine. And I would love to see that photograph, and I'm sure you would love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever seen it?
I have when I was little. I just have no idea where it is now.
Oh, it's one of those hidden. Matt, you got to find it so we can show it to Lon. You got to go digging through the archives and see if you can come up with it. But I can say that Matt, too, because I've lost more things like that myself.
I know.
Very precious. All right. Well, thank you, Matt. I knew that Lon would want to hear that story. That's great. See
that's
that? You never know, Lon. It's like the 6 degrees of the Stooges. Are you going to stay with us? Please say yes, Lon, because I do want to talk about Ma and Pa Kettle. Can you hang on a bit?
I'll stay with you all morning if you like.
After the show's over, we'll go get a cup of coffee. All right,
yes,
Lon.
Absolutely.
Hang on a minute. We'll get right back to you. All right, we are talking with Lon Davis, and he's got some, some great stories to tell, and he's written some incredible books, and his latest book is about Ma and Pa Kettle. And I don't know about you, but I grew up watching those great movies of Ma and Pa Kettle and just great shows in general. So we're going to visit a little bit more with Lon Davis, but first we got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more on WTIC News Talk 1080. And we are back. It's 17 minutes past 8 o'clock on WTIC News Talk 1080. And on the line with us right now is Lon Davis. Now, Lon, you had mentioned to me yesterday that you had quite a career doing stand-up yourself. So when were you doing stand-up, and what was it like back then?
Well, it was back starting in the mid-70s. I was only 16 or so years old when I started. I was really young. And I lived in Southern California at the time, and there were, there were the comedy clubs in San Diego and L.A., the Comedy Store, which was a fairly new in those days. But all these comedians that had become well established started there. And I performed on several of the open mic nights to get my material honed, you may say.
Yeah.
And then I would play in various clubs. I would do my own, you know, I would be booked into a club. I would do my act, which was full of impressions and jokes. And, you know, it was fun. It was sort of like I was kind of a throwback to mm-hmm. an earlier era. Pardon me.
Yep.
I was something of a throwback to an earlier era. I really idolized people like Milton Berle and Jack Benny and George Burns. And I was more of that style than of the contemporary, what they used to call off-the-wall humor and, you know, the George Carlin kind of
yep.
thing and the language mm-hmm. and everything. All kinds of comedy are great. And they can be, and anything can be funny, but I preferred a more traditional approach to comedy, and you know it was successful enough, but it wasn't something I don't think that was going to propel me into stardom. I did it for 5 years, from the ages of like 16 to 21,
mm-hmm.
and by the time that was done, I had played every kind of venue imaginable. I did awards dinners. I did beauty pageants. I did, oh my God, what didn't I do? I played just about everywhere, and I did not find myself loving it. Some people like Jerry Seinfeld, who's the master of stand-up comedy today.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, he loves it. He wants to do it forever. I really was more interested in being a writer and being a researcher and writing about, as you put it, show business, and particularly the early years of show business, whether it's in silent movies or comedies of the Three Stooges era, and that was just more my interest. It really was.
And so now all of a sudden you, now do you write alone or do you have a co-writer or what?
Well, I usually write first drafts alone,
uh-huh.
and then my wife Deborah is my second pair of eyes, and she has excellent judgment. And I'll usually read what I've written to her, and she will make suggestions and cuts, and she's ruthless. I mean, I said, please be critical. I want this to be good. When you trust someone as much as I trust Deb, you don't get your feelings hurt when they say, cut that whole paragraph. That's not good.
Oh, boy.
I appreciate it. And
yeah, you got to be able to take the direction, right, Lon?
Oh, absolutely. Well, if you want to stay happily married, you do.
Good.
And, you know, and I have been happily married for a long, long time, 36 years. And it's been wonderful. Deb is an exceptional person and a really brilliant writer. That's
well,
how we got our start together in college, writing on projects together. And we fell in love doing that, and it's been a great arrangement ever since.
Well, if you don't have somebody with, I'm very fortunate that my gal has a great sense of humor, and that was actually one of the things that even when we grew up, I remember back in high school that Angela was almost like more of one of the guys than one of the girls. I mean, if she's in a room full of guys, she can lay anybody out in lavender. She's not afraid, you know. Take a shot at her, she's going to get you back, and I really appreciate
that. Keeps you sharp, Steve. It keeps you on your toes.
You got to. But, you know, still my favorite person to crack up is her. If I can get her and tears are coming out of her eyes, that's major, you know, because especially when that person, they know all of your act, you know, Lon, so when you can really break them up, it's good. There she is. She's flashing the lights. Now, I'm talking about you. There's Angela. She's in her Mickey Mouse bathrobe, flashing the lights on and off. We're remote today.
So she sounds fascinating.
Oh, yeah. She's crazy. So now, Lon, now let's get to the point with why Jeff Abraham introduced us initially, and that is the fact that you've got this great new this book out about Ma and Pa Kettle. And I had mentioned to you, I remember growing up with those shows. Tell us about Ma and Pa Kettle, about this new book.
Well, Ma and Pa Kettle, of course, was a series of comedies that came out starting in 1949 up until 1957. They were immensely popular films, so much so that they saved Universal from bankruptcy. Over the years, after the series was over, those films ran on television constantly. Every weekend, they were on for years and years and years. And if you ever saw them, you fell in love with them because the people were so genuine. Lon Polkettle had never been documented before in a book, and it was my decision. I said, let's write a book about Lon Polkettle, and we did, and I'm so glad we did.
Now, how were you able to go back and get the connections and make all this happen? How do you do this research to find these people?
Well, I was able, with a friend of mine named Scott Riebel, we tracked down some of the actors who had played the children in the Lon Polkettle film. They are now in their late 70s and 80s. And I interviewed about five of them. And they were just wonderful. They shared some great memories. I also did a lot of digging as far as newspaper articles from the time and studio records. And, oh my goodness, I contacted the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. They were very helpful. And also, I watched all the films, every minute of every film, and described them, and looked all the information up about Percy Kilbride, who was Polkettle, Marjorie Maine, who was Ma, and the other actors. There were so many marvelous character actors in the Ma and Polkettle films, and it was very interesting to learn so much about that and to share that information.
And God bless you for doing it, because if you don't, who would know? I remember I read my dad and I used to really love Jack Benny. And, you know, his book that he wrote, I think, with his daughter Joan, was it Sunday Nights at 7?
Yes, it was originally called I Always Had Shoes. And the publisher didn't get it. And Jack Benny said, well, I want to communicate that I was never poor.
Yep.
You know, I always had shoes. And that was the original title. I don't know how many people know that. But
I didn't know that at all. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because... Oh, my God, he was incredible, because that was just, it was all about his reactions, you know, and what I really enjoyed was my dad, when he was going through some tougher times in his life with his health, we would pull that book out, and even if he couldn't, you know, communicate with me that much at that point in time, we would just read that book, and I'd recommend that book to anyone.
Oh,
if you, because what a story. Oh my God! What an amazing story! All right, now, so Lon, before I let you get out of here, have you got another project in the works? Are you talking about anything else, or what's the next thing you want to take on?
Well, lately it's been kind of crazy. I came out with three books in the past year, and I did one on the Keystone Cops called Chase, a tribute to the Keystone Cops. First book ever written about that comedy group.
Wow!
I've completed a documentary film about a well-known silent film actor by the name of Francis X. Bushman. He was extraordinarily popular back in the 1910s, and he was, in fact, the biggest star in the world at that time. He and Mary Pickford were the top stars. And he was a fascinating character, and that particular documentary is going to be on Blu-ray from a company called Flickr Alley starting in October, I believe. And it's also going to be run on TCM, and it's going to be part of Cinecon in Hollywood, which is their annual Labor Day convention of rare films. And I'm just extremely happy about this. This has been a lifelong dream. We did a book on Mr. Bushman, and he was the star of the 1925 Ben-Hur, which is a classic. And he was, to say he was colorful and flawed wouldn't even begin to describe it. The name of that book is King of the Movies, Francis X. Bushman, and all of my books, if I may add, Stooges Among Us, Silent Lives, which is 100 biographies of silent film actors, Vaughn Paul Kettle on Film, Chase, they're all available reasonably priced on Amazon.com.
Amazon.com, and of course you can always look up Lon Davis and find out what else he's up to.
It's cross-reference, sure.
You're terrific, Lon. Well, listen, keep the lines open. Let's get you back on, because everybody loves to talk about showbiz. I know that I do, and I know Matt enjoys it, so hopefully the audience does too. But
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And if you want to talk more about the Stooges sometime, I've got loads of stories, and I'd also love to hear what some of your listeners have to say about them.
I think that'd be awesome. We'll try to set that up. Thank you so much, Lon.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a real pleasure.
You got it, man. Thank you. Bye-bye.